We're turning to Nehemiah chapter 3, and with our Bibles open before us, can we unite in a word of prayer? Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for the opportunity of coming to Thee today. We thank Thee for Thy precious word. And we bless Thee, Lord, for that word that speaks to our hearts. We ask Thee, Lord, that Thy blessing would be upon the consideration of it, and that Thou wouldst even lift up our hearts. Lift up those that are cast down. Lift up those that are fallen. And O God, that we might look to Thee for Thy blessing and Thy power. For it's in Jesus' precious name I would ask these things. Amen. Amen. Verse 13 of Nehemiah chapter 3. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zenoah. They built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof, and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the Dung Gate. Now we've been looking over the last number of weeks at the building of the walls of Jerusalem that are described here in Nehemiah chapter 3. And we have said that in this chapter there are 10 gates, and we have them listed, and also a list of the people who were involved in the building of the gates. Each one is allocated to the different part of the wall or to the different gates that they had to build. And we also said that as you go round the gates you have an outlining of the experiences of the child of God. If you take them one by one, you really have a tracing of the experiences of God's people as they go on in the Christian life. We started at the sheep gate where the Bible starts, and that speaks to us of salvation. You need to be saved, first of all. And the sheep gate was where the burnt offerings, the sheep for the burnt offerings were brought, and where they were brought in that their blood might be shed in order to make atonement for sin. So the sheep gate speaks to us of salvation. You can't have you can't have anything of a Christian experience until you have God's salvation. Now, I hope that you're saved today and washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We came to the fish gate. The fish gate speaks of food. They brought in the food. And when you're saved, you have to be built up in the things of God. And you have to feed on the milk first of all, and then you have to be weaned onto the strong meat of God's precious word. So we need to feed ourselves. I hope that those of you that are saved are feeding yourself on the word of God. And then we said the fishermen went out to bring other fish in, and that speaks to us of being fishers of men and going out and being witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time we looked at the old gate, which had the old path, the old way into Jerusalem. And we said it was an old path of separation and an old path of sanctification, because Jerusalem was the holy city. So this was the old path in out of the world and in out of the surrounding nations, brought you into the holy city. So it speaks to us of separation and sanctification. And now we want to look at the valley gate. And the valley gate is mentioned here in verse 13. And the valley gate was erected on the west side of the city of Jerusalem. Sometimes it's called the Ravine Gate. And it is mentioned a few times in the Word of God. For example, in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse 9, we're told that Uzziah, King Uzziah, had built a tower, or at least one tower, at the Valley Gate. And this Valley Gate overlooked a great gorge. That's why it's called the Ravine Gate. If you were to stand on the wall of the Valley Gate, you would look down over a great ravine that went down 2,500 feet down into the valley. And it was a very precarious place indeed. A massive drop right down into the valley from the Valley Gate. And the valley, of course, in the Bible is often associated with hardship and with difficulty. We read the Psalm 84 there, and it speaks about the Valley of Baca. And the Valley of Baca was the Valley of Weeping. And the Psalm 84, if you read it, is really the story of God's people making their way up to Jerusalem. And as they made their way up to Jerusalem, and they were looking for the how immovable are thy tabernacles, they're looking for the house of God. And as they make their way up to the house of God, they come out of this place called the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Weeping. We also think of how when the children of Israel first went into the land of promise, it says in Judges 1 and 19, and the Lord was with Judah, and he drave out the inhabitants of the mountain, but could not drive out the inhabitants of the valley, because they had chariots of iron. Now you'd think it would be the opposite way round, that they'd be able to drive out the inhabitants of the valley, but the men in the mountains would have been difficult. But it was the men in the valley that was difficult. The children of Israel found difficulty and hardship in the valley because they were facing people with chariots of iron. So again, the valley is associated with hardship and with difficulty and with enemies that come against you. Of course, then we think of Psalm 23, the valley of the shadow of death. So in the Bible, very often the valley is associated with hardship. It's faced with trial. When the burdens, trials will press us and burdens distress us, we see that the valley is a picture of those times. And of course, we have to say that many times God's people get into the valley. We have the valley experiences in our lives. And every one of us will have those valley experiences. There'll be worries and there'll be difficulties. And there are times when we get right down into the valley and we don't know how to get out again. There are times when you get right so much down into the valley that all you feel that you can do is sit down in the middle of the valley and weep, and becomes a valley of Baca, a valley of weeping. And maybe there's someone here today and you can identify with that. And if you can't identify it with it today, you'll certainly identify it in the days to come. Because we all go through the valley experiences. Or maybe it's not a valley of trial that you're going through. Maybe it's a valley of backsliding. You know, in the valley here, it was a place of backsliding as well. A place where false worship went on. The valley that was down below the valley gate. And you know, there are people that get into the valley of backsliding, and they get so down in the valley that they can't get out either. But I want you to see what the valley gate was. The valley gate was a gate out of the valley, and it was a gate that led into Jerusalem. It was a way out of the valley. And what I want to say to you, those of you that are in trials today, and those that are in tribulation, and those that are feeling right down in the very pit of despondency, that there's a way out of the valley because there is a valley gate. And what we need in our lives and what we need in our hearts today, in the days of hardship and in distress and in difficulty, we need the valley gate. But look up here, the valley gate's in disrepair. The valley gate is lying in ruins. And what we need to do is repair the valley gate. What we need to do is set up the valley gate. And maybe the reason today why you can't get out of the valley is because the valley gate of your experience is lying in ruins. So we need to build the valley gate in our lives and in our experience. But there's a wonderful encouragement here that there is a valley gate. So for a few minutes, we want to look at this valley gate and bring an encouragement to our hearts, even as we see that there is such a thing, and we can get out of the valley. Now, first of all, I want you to see the difficulty of the valley gate. Now, we've said something about the fact that this gate lay at the precipice of a great gorge. If you stood at the valley gate, you looked right down, almost straight down below you, into a ravine that was 2,500 feet straight below. Now, when we think of that, we realize that there was a difficulty in building this valley gate. And there are a number of reasons why there was difficulty in building the valley gate. Now, the first reason is because of the size of the task. If you look very carefully at what is said in this verse of Scripture, Nehemiah 3 and 13, it says, "The valley gate repaired Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zanoah, they built it and set up the doors thereof, the locks thereof and the bars thereof, and 1,000 cubits on the wall unto the dung gate." Now you notice that the men that built the valley gate had to repair 1,000 cubits of the wall. That's 1/4 mile. Now you realize that the whole of the wall of Jerusalem was about 4.5 miles round. But these men were given 1/4 mile of that to build and to repair. And you think of the difficulty of the terrain, the great ravine and the gorge and all the rest of it. And I can well imagine that when these men were told that that's what they had to do, they might have looked at the gate and they would have said to themselves, How can we ever do that? How could we ever erect that gate? When we think of all these things, how can we get all that repaired? There's such an amount. And sometimes when God's people or any people get down into the valley of their life, they wonder themselves, how can we ever face the task? This is too much for me. This is too difficult for me. Have you ever come to the point where you've said to yourself, this is too much, I can't go on. This is too difficult, I just can't go on. And you sit down in the middle of it and you can do nothing. And people, well-meaning people, come along and they say to you, well, get up and shake yourself and go on. And there are all sorts of sayings that people come, grin and bear it. When you get to the end of your rope, hang on. Shake yourself and you get up out of that and go on. But you know that you can't. And if you're down in that valley, you know what I'm talking about. You just can't. You just can't shake yourself and go on. And you're in the valley of difficulty and you're in the valley of trial. And you're just there. And it's the easiest thing just to sit down in the middle of the valley and say, I can't go on. When you look at the massiveness of the problems, when you look at what you're facing in your life, when you look at those difficulties, you don't know how you're ever going to get on. Maybe you're a backslider today, and you know that you need to get out of the valley of despair that you're in. And you know it isn't the valley of despair. And you need to get out of that place, and you need to come to God afresh. But somehow, you can't get out of that place, and you're just sitting there in the midst of your misery. You know, in the middle of that valley, the valley of the Hinnom here, because the valley gate overlooked the valley of Hinnom. And the valley of Hinnom in those days was a place where there was a heathen god by the name of Moloch. And they had a statue of this heathen god, and in the middle of that statue they had a furnace, right in the middle of the statue. And this god sat with its arms like that, you know, carved. And underneath the arms was the fire. And what they would do is that they would take little children, wee babies, and they would put them in the hands or in the arms of that heathen god. And the little babies would be burnt alive in the middle. And they would get themselves into a frenzy and they would shout so that they didn't even hear the screams of the mothers and the screams of the little babies. What a horrible place the Valley of Hinnom was. But I'm glad there's a way out of that horrible place. There's a valley gate. God has provided a valley gate for those that will get out of that. Don't be in despair, men and women. There is a valley gate that you can get out of that place. So there's a difficulty here with the size of the task. There's another difficulty. The struggle with the material. Because you can well imagine that these walls are toppled and many of the stones that were to be put on the wall around the valley gate had toppled right down into the ravine. So you can imagine that the people that were building round the valley gate would have had to go down into the ravine and get these big stones that were for the wall and struggle with them up out of that 2,500 feet and bring them up into the city so they could put them back on the wall. Now that was an exhausting task. It would have left them absolutely exhausted to be able to do that. I'll tell you one thing about the valley experience. It leaves you sheer exhaustion. It leaves you tired. You don't want to go on. Every day you get up and you're tired and you're weary and you're exhausted with experiences of life. And that's one of the reasons why you can't go on. You're tired. You're weary. And it leaves it so much difference, or so much more difficult. It's like a circular thing. It's a vicious circle. And the further you get down into the valley, the more tired you are, and the more weary you are, and there was the sheer struggle with the material. Is there somebody that's feeling that today? Tired. You're just weary. You just can't go on. The struggle with the material. And then there was the stench from the valley. Because not only was the valley of Hinnom a place where there was a heathen god, this heathen statue, and where the children of Israel backslid and went after heathen gods, but it was the rubbish heap of Jerusalem. That's where they put their rubbish. The valley of Hinnom was the rubbish heap of Jerusalem. And all the rubbish and all the old refuse and all the off-scouring and the sewage of Jerusalem, that's where it went to, into the valley of Hinnom. So as they built, there was this stench, I'm sure, that came up out of the valley. I'm sure they didn't have the kind of sewerage treatment and the sort of rubbish treatment that they have today, there would have been a stench coming out of the valley. And that would have made it difficult to build this wall, wouldn't it? When you're in that type of an atmosphere, it doesn't make it any easier to build and to struggle and to work. And there were these people, and they were struggling with the atmosphere. And there are those of you that are in a backsliding position today, and the atmosphere of the world has left it so difficult for you to build. The backsliders so often know that they need to get out of that place, but the atmosphere of the world is such that sort of chloroforms them. It's like a gas, and comes up and nearly puts you to sleep. And maybe you're sleeping today down in the middle of the valley, and the old stench that has come out of the valley today is just ruining you. There was a stench of the valley. They were chloroformed. And then there was another difficulty, the steepness of the ground. Said there's 2,500 feet plummeting right down into the valley. So they would have had to take safety precautions and all the rest. But if they made one wrong move, they could have went right down into the valley again. And you know, there are so many people, and they know that. You know, you can be getting on so well in your life. And maybe there are days when you feel you're out of the valley. Oh, I'm doing well today and everything's going well. And then something happens and you're right down in the valley again. Something just snaps and you're right down in the valley again. The steepness of the ground. But I want you to see that these people worked and they labored. And no matter what difficulties there were, no matter about the stench, and no matter about the struggle with the material, and no matter about the difficulties that they had to overcome, they worked and they labored, and bit by bit they got the rubble and they got it on the wall and they built the valley gate. And I'm glad today that bit by bit, and it may be a struggle, and it may be hard, and I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but thank God you can build the valley gate, and you can get out of the valley experience today. Don't despair, dear friend, today. There's a way out. And so we look at the difficulty of the valley gate. But I want you to see something else. I want you to see the design of the valley gate. Because you see some things in the Word of God about the way that the valley gate must have looked. Now, first of all, the valley gate was a gate of observation. Now, if you turn to that verse that we mentioned earlier on there, 2 Chronicles chapter 26, and look at verse 9, you'll see there it says, "Moreover, Uzziah built towers in Jerusalem at the corner gate and at the valley gate and at the turning of the wall, and fortifying them." So at the valley gate there was at least one tower. Now the reason for the tower was that you could look, of course, it was a watchtower. You watch for the enemy. They'd watch out over the valley. And you could see long distances down over the valley. And of course they would watch for the enemy coming across the valley. And they would have been able to warn against any attack that would take place. For the enemy would come across maybe the valley. And I tell you one thing about the valley experience, and that's the fact that you need to watch for the enemy, because when you are in the valley experience, the enemy certainly will attack you. The enemy will know when you're weakest. The enemy will know when you're there, and right down in the valley, and in the place of despair, and in the place where you are weakest, the devil will attack. The enemy of souls will come. You know what he'll tell you? He'll tell you that nobody cares. Nobody cares. He might even tell you that God doesn't care. That God doesn't care about you. God has left you down here in the middle of the valley and all these difficulties, and nobody cares about me. And nobody cares about my difficulties. I think of the psalmist. He often got into that place. In Psalm 77, he asked, "Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more?" He says, "Will he be favorable no more to me?" In Psalm 10 and verse 1 he says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" And I want to tell you that the enemy will try and convince you that nobody cares. Try and convince you that God doesn't care. But I'll tell you that the valley gate is a place of observation. And when the valley gate of your life is built, you'll be able to watch and see the old enemy coming. It's hard to see Him when you're down in the valley. See, it's hard to see Him coming when you're down in the valley. But when you get the valley gate of your life built afresh, you'll have the watchtower and you'll be able to see the old enemy coming against you. We need to recognize the enemy when he comes against us. The Lord, people do care. The Lord does care. People care for you. People care for you, love you, and want to see you brought into the place of blessing. And we see that the valley gate was a place of observation. And then there was something else. Before we go on to that, it wasn't only a place where they were able to see the enemy, the valley gate, but it was a place where they were able to see the need. Because if you turn to Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 14, we see that when Nehemiah came down to Jerusalem and when he went out to examine the wall and see what was wrong with the city of Jerusalem, it says, "And I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's," verse 13, "and I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, the gates thereof that were consumed with fire." And then in verse 15 it says, "Then I went up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley and so returned." So when Nehemiah went out to examine the walls and see the real state of things and how much disrepair there was, he went out of the valley gate and he came back by the valley gate. So the valley gate was used as a place of observation to see what was the need of the city. And I'll tell you one thing about being down in the valley, man or woman. It's very often a place where you can really look at yourself. It's a place where you can really see things as they really are. You know, when things are going well, we never really think about what we're doing and where we're going and the way that life is taking us. But one thing about being down in the valley is that you can take a look at yourself and you can examine yourself and you can see where you're going wrong. And that's what Nehemiah did here. He went out of the gate of the valley and he examined the walls and he really looked to see what was wrong with the city, to see what needed to be done. Now, if you're in the valley today, I say to you, make use of it. Look at yourself and see what you're doing. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, "My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience." I know it's hard to believe and I know it's hard to understand, but very often the valley can be good. The valley can be a place of observation when we can look at ourselves and see the way that we're going. So the valley gate was a place of observation. But then also the valley gate was designed for openness. It was designed to be open so the people from the valley could get into Jerusalem. And these gates can be taken very much as pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." He says in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." In Psalm 55 and verse 2, he says, "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee." So the valley gate can be a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to say to you, if you're in the valley today, get to Him. If you're in the valley of despair, come to Him. Now I know that in many ways He's veiled from you. I know that in many times when people are in the valley, they can't even read God's Word. Now don't put yourself under guilt if that's your condition today. Just come bit by bit. Do what you can. But get to the Lord. You mightn't have much energy today, but take a few steps and get closer to the Lord. If you're in the valley of backsliding, I said you get to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who can lift your burden. He's the one who will care for you. He's the one who will bring you through. And I say to you, get to the valley gate. And we see the design of the valley gate. It speaks to us of observation, but it speaks of openness. The arms of the Lord are open wide to those that will come to Him. If you're not saved in this meeting, His arms are open wide that you can come to Him. You're in the valley of sin. You're in the valley where you serve the Molochs of this world. But thank God you can ascend and come to Him by the precious blood. You can enter by Christ, the valley gate. you can come to him and be saved. So we see here the design of the Valley Gate. But then I want you to see something else. I want you to see the delight at the Valley Gate. Because here was a wonderful blessing that God had provided for these people. That straight out of that valley, out of the Valley of Hinnom. And we've said that there was a valley in which there was the rubbish. And we've said it was a valley in which there was heathen worship. And all these horrible things, this awful idol that there was in the Valley of Hinnom, and this awful stench that there was in the Valley of Hinnom, but God provided a way by which the people could come out of that and enter into the holy city. They could get into the place where the presence of God was, where the temple was, where God was worshipped, and they could come and draw nigh to God. And of course the Lord had made provision for Nehemiah that he could go to Jerusalem. You remember how the king, Ahasuerus, had given him all that he needed in order to, Artaxerxes rather, he had given him all that he had needed in order to make the gate. And he had provided for him, and God had provided all the materials and all the things that were necessary to make this gate. And thank God the Lord has provided all that is necessary that we might come out of the valley and come to him. And thank God today you can have this delight. You can come to him. Notice who repaired the valley gate here. It says that the man that repaired the valley gate was by the name of Hanun, and the inhabitants of Zenoa also. Now it's thought that Hanun here was the leader of the inhabitants of Zenoa, and they built this valley gate and all around it. Now Hanun means gracious, and Zenoa means cast off. So this man whose name means gracious led these people who were from a town that means cast off to build a valley gate. And I'm glad that God in his grace, God is gracious today, and those of you that feel that you're cast off, and those of you that are cast off and down in the place of sin, God can lead the cast offs in his grace to build a valley gate, a way into the presence of God. That's the wonderful blessing of this today. You might feel like a spiritual Zenoite. You're cast off. But there's a way back to God from the dark paths of sin. And what I say to you today is enter the valley gate. Come in by Christ. You might have to struggle, but come in and enter into that place of blessing. And what did they find when they got in there? Well, they found rest. You think of them struggling up 2,500 feet out of that valley. It was long, it was difficult. And coming up, and they would have been tired and exhausted when they got there. But what did they find when they got into that city? Well, they would have been able to go to the inn. And they would have found rest. They would have been able to rest their weary legs. And they would have found all that they needed in rest and recuperation in that place. When they came, and you can find rest for your soul when you enter by the valley gate. And then what else did they find? They found acceptance. Because they were able to bring down their sacrifices and go up to the temple mount. And they were able to bring the little lamb and the shed blood of the lamb. And they were able to go to God and find acceptance because of the blood of the lamb. And they were able to enter into God's presence by means of the shed blood. And they could worship and find acceptance with God. And you might feel yourself, I couldn't be accepted of God. Very often people down in their despair feel themselves as if God would not accept me. God wants nothing to do with me. But God has provided the valley gate. And there is a way by which you can find acceptance with God. There is a way that he has provided by which you can enter into his presence and come to the temple. You can enter in today. So I say to you, those of you that are cast down, enter in. I say to those of you that are backsliding, enter in. I say to those of you that are unsaved and have never come, enter in. There's a way. Out of the rubbish. Out of the rubbish of your life. Out of the rubbish that's down there in the valley, there's a way to ascend the hill of the Lord. To come with clean hands and with a pure heart because of the precious shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of course, the fact that there was a valley gate is an acknowledgement of the fact that there are valley experiences in our lives. The Lord knows about the valleys. The Lord has provided for the valleys. Come to a gracious God. Come to a God of love. Come to a God of mercies. And He will take you up and take you in. Because thank God there is a valley gate. May God help us to come that way and trust in Him for His name's sake. Amen. If you're not saved, put your trust in Him. Come out of the rubbish, please, and come to the Saviour. Let's just bow, please, in the word of prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. We bless Thee that there is a valley gate. There's a way out of that valley of rubbish, out of that valley of false worship. There's a valley gate. Lord God, we thank Thee that those who may be in the valley today can ascend the hill of the Lord and find acceptance and blessing in the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father, we pray that it may be so today, that there will be those who will come and put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom to know with life eternal. Those that will trust afresh in Thee, those that will come out of the backslider's valley and trust Thee afresh. And those today who are down in despair, we thank that the Lord has provided the valley gate to get out of the valley of despair. And we pray that each and every one of us may turn to Thee today and seek Thee while Thou art to be found. Bless us, our God, and be with us now, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.